Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
This is the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
An experience beyond total fear.
Boils and ghouls, lock your doors and strap yourselves in. From Los Angeles, California, Bloody Disgusting presents the Boo Crew Podcast. Horror news, commentary, reviews, interviews, and more. With your hosts, Lauren and Trevor Shand and Leone D'Antonio.
I'm Leo.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Trevor, and welcome to the Boo Crew Podcast, episode 368. How y'all doing?
Wow, that's a lot. Like, kind of close to 400.
We're getting there. How you doing, Leo?
Doing all right, except the numbers gave me anxiety, man.
I don't think we've talked to Leo since the last recording, right?
No,
maybe we haven't all talked, yeah. Everything okay in your world?
Yeah, things are going well.
Good, man, good.
Oh, yeah, how about you guys? How's everything going over there?
Yeah, hanging in there.
Busy.
Very busy time of year. And
yeah.
We thought we'd kind of start off, or I thought we'd kind of start off this episode with something that was a favorite element of one of my favorite podcasts, the Stuff That Dreams Are Made Of, that prop podcast. If you listen back on episode 343, we had Dave Mandel and Ryan Condal, the two extremely talented writers and showrunners, who well, Ryan does the Game of Thrones. What's it called? Is it House of the Dragon? House of Dragon? House of Dragons? I'm not down with the Game of Thrones. I haven't seen any Game of Thrones.
There's a dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leo, that one.
Leo, are you down with that series?
No. I mean, I want to, but I made the mistake of never starting. So to catch up would be just endless hours of watching.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. That's like me and currently the Marvel series, too. Yeah. I'm afraid it's daunting to me.
Yeah,
to watch all the chilling adventures of Sabrina too is also daunting. But I'll save it for that rainy day when we retire, living in a cabin somewhere.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Well, you know what does suck about that thought? It's like I'm now finding out that shows are being taken away.
Yeah, that's true, right?
And that it's like I don't understand. Like HBO made these shows, right? Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's going away forever, like next week. So have fun.
And in a lot of those, some of those cases, though, there's no physical versions of it, right? No physical media, especially like on Netflix. Like, I don't think there's a way of none of the Sabrina stuff is in Blu-ray box set or anything as of yet.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting, right? This landscape is very, very interesting. And with all the interesting things going on in this genre, the one thing that I would like to borrow from Stuff Dreams Are Made Of is every week they do a what's new in props. So I figure we start doing what's new in horror and just kind of go over some of the headlines and things that are coming out in streaming and things that are on the way in this genre. So I wanted to start things off with Julian Sands, star of movies like Warlock, Boxing Helena, Arachnophobia, is missing. He went hiking. And it's been about 10 days, and as of recording this, he still hasn't been found. I guess it was the Baldy Bowl Trail that climbs 3,900 feet over 4.5 miles to the highest summit in the San Gabriel Mountains. And they're worried about avalanches and some of these high winds that they've been having up there that have gusts up to 70 miles per hour. And they had to take a break because they were worried about getting caught, like the people on the search party were worried about being stuck in avalanches and stuff. But man, that's tragic. And Julian, it looks like he's been like a fan of hiking and mountain climbing and all that kind of stuff. So he's probably just, you know, on a pleasure trail or whatever. I wonder what's going on. It's sad.
That is crazy.
I hope he's okay.
I mean, you can be an experienced hiker, you know, all you want, but if you're not prepared for icy snow, freezing conditions up there,
right?
You know, it's like if you don't have food, water, it's like it's already beyond what is, it's over a week, right?
So yeah.
10 days maybe. It's been a while.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, we're hoping for the best outcome and that he's doing okay. or, you know, that they find him in good shape. And on a positive note, a lot of Friday the 13th activity in the past couple weeks. Sean Cunningham, the director of the original 1980, is trying to get a reboot off the ground. And he's also developing a reboot of his 1985's House. And I'm a huge I'm a huge fan of House. Leo, were you much of a fan of that series?
Yeah, actually, that was like, you know, to probably quote something you said in the past, that was a rental based on the VHS cover.
What, with the kind of like disembodied hand approaching the doorbell?
Ringing the doorbell, yeah.
Yeah. classic video store days. So the original screenwriter of Friday the 13th, Victor Miller, is teaming up with Brian Fuller and A24 for a prequel series for Peacock, and that's Crystal Lake. So with all the new interest, they're hoping both sides, Sean Cunningham and Victor, are going to come back together, get Jason back in theaters for the first time in 14 years. And there's also, if that doesn't happen, there's a plan B for a sequel to the original that will avoid any legal entanglements. So all this news is coming from a writer, Jeff Locker, who's working with Sean on a film he's producing called The Night Driver. And Jeff is also working on the script for the House reboot. And they say it's an update and reimagining of the series. The laughs are back. The return of some of your favorite monsters from the original. And awesome kills, of course. The original film, to remind everybody, was written by Fred Decker. Night of the Creeps. Monster Squad. Yeah. Some of the greatest movies ever made. And it was directed by Steve Miner and produced by Sean Cunningham. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to finding out the future of the Friday the 13th franchise. It would be amazing to dive back into that universe.
I'm thinking about the props already.
Right?
Yeah, that's where my mind
More Jason
goes.
Masks. What was the last...
Weapons?
The last auction, the last prop store auction, a guy named Mario Kerner accumulated so much stuff from the history of the Friday the 13th films.
It's crazy.
And so I think he sold all of it or started selling it off in the last auction. Oh, and then one other thing I was reading about. Recently, Mia Goth did an interview with Variety Magazine, and they're doing pre-production for Maxine. And she says it's got the best script of the three in that trilogy. X, Pearl, now Maxine. And it will be the biggest story of the trilogy.
I can't even imagine that.
It's going to be insane. So it takes place in the 80s. We talked a bit about this on the previous episode.
Yeah.
It's got that whole video store vibe. And she went on to say that because it's their third movie, the crew's super tight. Everybody's coming back together. So it's like bringing the band back together. So they have that shorthand with each other. So it's going to be really, really amazing to see what they create. I mean, Ty West knocks it out of the park each and every time. So this is going to be a no-brainer. It's going to be, I think, the movie to watch this year.
So excited.
You know, it's funny, every time I see the poster and I see the triple X, you know, in Maxine.
Yeah.
I think of 80, because it's supposed to be in the 80s, right? I think of 80s porn, which is therefore John Holmes, which is therefore the Laurel Canyon Murders. So I wonder if that story or her character is like interweave in that group, you know?
Yeah, interesting. And in new horror films coming out this week at time of release, we got Waking Karma. That's out on Thursday on VOD with Michael Madsen. Also coming out, Blood, that hits limited theaters on Friday. The story following Jess, a separated mom and nurse who moved back into their old family farmhouse with their daughter and son, Owen, after settling in. The family dog bites Owen, giving him an infection. Looking forward to that. Fear hits theaters January 27th. A group of friends gather for a much-needed weekend getaway at a remote and historic hotel. That's got my name written all over it.
Yeah.
Oh, Ruby Modine's in it. And T.I.
Oh, nice.
Cool. That's going to be great. Oh, and then I forgot. Infinity Pool coming out on Friday as well.
Some great movies.
Mia Goth. Alex Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Brandon Cronenberg film.
I realized I'm so wrapped up in horror that I don't even realize that there are other movies that aren't horror that are coming out. I was having conversations with friends and they're like, I'm so excited for Indiana Jones. I've been waiting so long. And I'm like, oh, when is that coming out? And they're like, this year.
Yeah. Yeah. We were having that conversation. That's like, funny. Holy shit, there's new Indiana Jones this year? Wow.
Yeah. And like, that's funny. The Little Mermaid, just like, movies, I guess I have to pay attention to what else is going on out there, not just in our world.
Oh, well, when those movies come out, you won't be able to escape it. You'll just become part of the, you'll plug into the public conscience and just know about it.
Well, I'm excited for the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Oh, yeah. Sophia Lillis.
Yeah, it looks cool.
And Chris Pine is in that.
Yep.
And that's coming out soon, isn't it? March?
I think so.
I believe.
But we shouldn't be expected to know that because that's not horror.
So. Dungeons and Dragons, fantasy, horror adjacent, I'll give it. Right? All right. There's a dragon or a monster or a creature, an orc, maybe.
Dragons are scary, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, March 31st.
Leo, you ever played Dungeons and Dragons? March 31st. Okay.
Yeah.
I've attempted to play the arcade game once or twice.
Oh.
And didn't know what the hell I was doing. And of course, like, you know, there goes my quarter, you know.
But you never actually sat and played like the role playing board game with the six dice and a six sided die and everything like that. No,
no, no. I'm happy to, or maybe sad to say that I've never played any one of those games.
Do you remember that like satanic panic that happened in the 80s? I remember sitting there at sleepovers and watching the newscasts that were like D&D, you know, turning people into Satanists, and kids were killing each other, and they were thinking that the game was real, and they were acting. Yeah, Leo, do you remember hearing all that? Like, it was
that plays into the plot of Stranger Things. Remember what's his name? The
Eddie Munson. Yeah,
yeah. What do they call Hellfire?
Yep, like the Hellfire Club. Yep.
Yeah, don't they play D&D? And that's what people thought. You know, that they were all Satanists.
Yep. There you go.
So yeah,
the next order of business here.
I love that we have orders of business.
Well, I'm trying to keep it organized.
Very professional.
Got my little flow here. It's not a complete mess.
Sergeant Arms speaking.
Right. Not a complete mess. This is a partial mess. Last week's episode had some elements that could be considered a bit of a downer maybe.
But I
don't know.
Say,
ratings are up, man.
Right?
Thank you. For those of you that reached out to us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Super nice.
I've been off social media, but Lauren's been fielding everything to me too.
I've been filling him in, and it's super kind of you to just take time to let us know that you're listening and that you support us and that you, you know, have similar feelings. It was really cool to see.
Especially right now, man, it keeps us going. Like literally, it keeps us going.
It really does. So thank you to all of you that reached out. Like I said, really cool to see. And on that note.
Yeah. We apologize for the downer. I don't know. Because
we're always so, I feel like, enthusiastic.
Yeah, exactly.
And upbeat and.
And in no way do we mean to be negative. No. But I think it's also important to be honest and share in feelings that we know from what we've seen from the DMs that you sent that you were feeling too.
Yeah.
And on that note, there is something else we wanted to address that is kind of an elephant in the room, so to speak. And we wanted to bring it up to discuss maybe how to turn it into a positive. Because we've seen a lot of broken hearts over this. I think I speak for the three of us when we say it rips us up inside a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
People always talk about how amazing the horror community is. And it really is. With the success of horror in the theaters and it permeating pop culture more than ever before, it's getting bigger and bigger. Those are all great things. It means more conventions, more events,
more movies, more toys,
exactly,
more attention. Like,
yeah,
more of everything that keeps us all going. And when I say us, I'm talking about the three of us and you listening and your friends.
And more cute clothes.
Yes, definitely. More ways for all of us to creatively express our love for those films and how they make us all feel. The genre has given all of us a lifestyle. Like Lauren said, it seeps into how you decorate your house, what you wear, what you collect. It's a way to connect with other people in a unique and powerful way. And it ignites all our imaginations and can fuel how we push through things in our own lives and how we tell our own stories. And it's empowering. I hate to sound like the person who gets pissed when a band they like that no one knows about gets popular, because it's not really like that. We want the genre to explode. It's an incredible time to be a horror fan. But no one really addresses some of the toxic side that comes with that success. There are certain parts of the horror community that have seemed to become a bit exclusive rather than inclusive. And the horror genre has always been about being inclusive at its core.
Yeah, I would have to say, you know, obviously I agree with you on, and, you know, I have experienced firsthand, you know what, I feel like sometimes I feel really alienated and kind of like not the cool kid at all. I feel like we're left out of a lot. And it's very interesting to see it as an adult who has been through high school. And now I have kids that are, I have a kid that's almost in high school, which is also crazy for me to think about. But, you know, I've been around people in this community that will talk crap about someone, and then the next day they'll be hanging out with that person. I'm just like, what? And I feel like everybody, I'm not going to say I never say anything bad about anybody because I'd be lying. But I feel like,
well, I think everybody does like this, how they make it through things, right?
Yeah.
People get feelings hurt and everything. And you listening there, we know there are people listening who have been through this.
Yes.
And who feel this way. Perhaps this has happened to you. We know podcasts that have people who've left podcasting in this community because of the way they've been made to feel.
Yeah.
You know, they aren't welcome because they don't know enough about the horror genre. Elitism because they don't know like the coolest underground films or obscure Blu-ray or filmmaker. And maybe you're made to feel like you don't belong because you don't dress or look a certain way or read the right publications or go to the right events or have your hair a certain way.
And I feel like there are gatekeepers in this community.
Yeah,
and
there is some gatekeeping that is crept in.
And I think that as an adult, I think my whole...
It's a little bit high school, right?
And it's like, I've got four kids. I got to worry about selling Girl Scout cookies this month. Like, I don't have time for this drama, but I just like try to stay out of it. And
But we see it happening to a lot of people that we know. And, you know, it's sad. And I find just people don't really address it or talk about it. And horror is about, it's about smashing down barriers and walls and sharing new ideas and passions. And if you have experienced this sort of treatment, know that you aren't alone. You know, I don't know what else to say, but we got to love one another out there, support one another, and always know that you have a home right here with us. And I think the first step in obliterating the toxic bullshit is by being aware of it, savvy to it, to quote Jack Sparrow. So that if any of us...
Did you just...
Yeah, I did. You know, so if any of us have to face it or face it again, that you aren't caught with your guard down and you're more empowered to fight through it because you know you have a community rallying behind you. I'd love for you to DM us on our socials at Tales from the Boo Crew on Insta, at Tales from the Boo on Twitter. Email us. I forget what our email address is. Anybody know?
I think it's Tales from the Boo Crew.
Well, go to talesfromtheboocrew.com. I think you can email us from there. But we'd love to hear from you and your thoughts.
I was just reflecting on what you just said, because we run into these people at the conventions and I'm like, hey, whatever happened to you or your show or your channel or whatever? And then you hear the story and you're like, what? You know, and then, you know, we find out it's like they were bullied out of the, you know, or people lied and created some stories that gatekeep them out of certain events, or, you know, and it's just like, dude, it's so sad. Like, why is this happening? You know, it's like, Like you said, it feels like high school.
Yeah.
It's like,
and it's a very opposite of what the genre is.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I think it's because, you know, this stuff eventually happens because there's more and more people doing it. The community's getting bigger, right?
Yeah. It's
for sure.
Is it getting too big? Is there a thing?
No.
Am I being too big?
I don't think so, because like we said, you know, it opens the floodgate for more content, more creators, and it's always good. But, yeah, you know, the more popular it gets, I think, I don't know why it happens, honestly. If you're feeling it, just know that you got a community. Most of the community isn't like that. And you got people rallying behind you, but don't give up your thing.
Yeah.
You know, love your horror movies the way you want to do it. And there's no status that you have to, or image you have to live up to in order to be a fan in this genre and to celebrate it alongside everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't go to a convention and feel like you don't belong there. And that would be sad if that happened. So
I wish we could have, like, I don't know, it reminds me of Loveline, but it's not like a live show.
And oh, like yeah, caller.
Call.
Well, there is a way. I mean, Leo's talked about it before, yeah, of doing, and we're probably going to explore that at some point, right? Like we can go on YouTube Live or something like that, right, Leo?
Right. Yeah. For sure.
That'd be fun to do.
And, yeah, talk with people.
Yeah,
just
have like an open conversation, an open forum. It'd be interesting. Why not?
Yeah, but let's not talk about STDs or anything.
STDs?
Yeah. Like Loveline.
Oh, like give sex advice and stuff?
Yeah. Which leads us to our...
leads us to Danielle Harris, yeah, and Scott Taylor Compton.
Which leads us to our movie that we watched.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Lorne and I, let's talk about horror films. Why we're here. And, you know, again, we don't mean to be negative. So sorry. I know, yeah, this is not the kind of content you've come to expect from the Boo Crew.
Very different. And
yeah, some real talk, right? Just things that, you know, we've been thinking about.
Yeah. Now that it's like off our chest.
Yeah.
You're not going to, it's not going to be doom and gloom every single episode. You know.
Just things to think about, things to talk about. Because we, again, we want to open the gates a little bit more. Of to, like, you.
Yeah, just who we are and our thoughts. And
who you are and your thoughts.
Yeah.
And what you're doing out there.
We can make a great team.
Yeah.
You and I.
The Boo Crew will be right back. Within this old house live two residents. One of them is John Russell, composer, professor. The other has been dead for over 70 years.
Claire, I'd like to talk to you about the house.
Did you die in this house? How did you die?
Whatever it is, it's trying desperately to communicate. What is it in that house, Claire? What is it doing? Why is it trying to reach me?
Many films will frighten you, but only a few can really terrify you. The Changeling, an experience beyond total fear.
Movie talk about what we saw, Lauren.
You should kick it off because you are way better with the facts.
I don't have many facts, but we went back and saw a movie from 2014, and you could see it too for free on Tubi. Nothing wrong with that. Honeymoon. This is Lee Janiak's debut film, who did the hugely fun Fear Street series for Netflix.
Leo, did you see it?
No, I have not. I've heard of it, but I've not watched this one yet.
It's really, really good. I'm really bad with pronouncing names, especially lately. But the screenplay is written by Lee and Phil Graziadi.
You probably said it better than most people.
Oh, are you kidding me? I probably butchered it. But anyway, They co-wrote Fear Street as well. And this is their first project together. So it stars Rose Leslie, Game of Thrones, from Game of Thrones, not Rose Leslie Game of Thrones. It's not her full name. That's just how I wrote it down, and I actually read it instead of thinking about what I was saying. Rose Leslie bears a uncanny resemblance to Emma Stone and Katie Video.
That's right.
The girl who makes VHS video cassettes of your favorite horror films on social media. She looks exactly like the two of them together.
Yes, it's kind of nice.
It's kind of wild. And Harry Treadaway, who was on that show, Penny Dreadful. They play B and Paul. We're not about spoiling these movies for you. We want you to go in as dark as possible. All we're going to say is a newly married couple goes to a remote cabin in the woods.
To have lots of sex.
Yes, to celebrate their honeymoon in the best way you can celebrate a honeymoon, by having tons of sex, evidently. Small cast, 8 people. One of the things that I loved about this film, you'll notice at the end credits, a guy named Trevor Gates did the sound design. And the sound design in this movie is incredible. It's a massive way that the suspense and mystery that will slowly unravel, it'll pull you in. And the sound design by Trevor Gates, you look at his back credits and his back catalog, you're going to see Evil Dead 2013, Don't Breathe, Ouija Origin of Evil, Get Out, Us, Gerald's Game, Hill House, Happy Death Day, Freaky, Brightburn, Doctor Sleep, right?
And his name's Trevor.
Wow. Trevor Gates.
Wow.
So you know how I have a favorite...
That's funny.
A favorite editor?
Yes.
Josh Ethier. This is my favorite sound designer and sound editor. Trevor Gates. He's worked on like every one of like our favorite films. So he's involved in this. So there's a little taste of what you're getting. High quality sound design. All right.
Yeah.
But the acting's phenomenal. It keeps you going, man.
Yeah.
You'll be on the edge of your seat wondering at every step, what the hell? Where is this going?
I think I only fell asleep once.
I think you did.
You guys, that may sound like horrible. Like,
that's
oh
like,
my God.
That's like, yeah, that's like a...
But there are memes about me.
That's like a 5-star review from Lauren.
That's funny.
I didn't fall asleep.
Yeah.
Or I nodded off once. Yeah, it's a problem.
You might have narcolepsy. It's possible.
Like Lauren's lowest rating is going to be like, I took Hypnosil and fell asleep.
You're right.
Now, if you take Lauren to a theater, though, she will stay awake through the whole thing. I mean, I'm serious. You can watch the best movie in the world at home. Lauren will be out. Like,
I know.
Halfway through it.
I try to like fight it. Like, I feel my body being like pulled into sleep. And I'm like, no, this is really, really interesting.
And just like that TikTok Facebook reel or whatever I sent you, where the guy's looking over at his wife and her eyes are rolling in the back of her head. Yeah. Constantly. He's like checking on her. Like, are you falling asleep? So you're seriously falling asleep right now? That's you, right? I keep looking over like, oh God, she's falling asleep.
It's true. It's so horrible.
Well, because usually too, when you fall asleep, that means movie's over. We got to stop it. And I'm like, oh God, because I'm usually wide awake at that point.
It sucks because I feel like if we watch these during the day when I was more awake, it'd be a different story, but we have
when
kids.
When are we going to watch these during the day? Yeah.
No, it's a fantasy, but...
And anything else to add on Honeymoon before I go to our second follow-up movie?
No, it's just definitely worth checking out. I don't want to give anything away.
But you love the performances, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It made me really feel uneasy, and I just couldn't figure... I was like, what is going on? Like, what happened? That's what you think about the whole time. You're like, what brought us to this point?
Yeah.
And then like little puzzle pieces get solved and then you're like, oh crap.
And that's why this next movie pairs perfectly with that, because it does very much do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
House of Darkness on Hulu. That came out recently, written and directed by Neil LaBute, who did The Wicker Man in 2006, the remake with Nick Cage, Lakeview Terrace with Sam Jackson. It stars Kate Bosworth and Justin Long. A guy drives a woman home. All you need to know. Don't read anything about it. It's fantastic.
I did fall asleep.
You did fall asleep near the end. You made it. You did like a Herculean effort.
I really did, because I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Like, what? I had my own thoughts about what was going on, and I still don't know what the hell's going on because I fell asleep the last 20 minutes. Like, what the hell? I spent so much time in the last 20 minutes. I fell asleep. I'm going to go watch it to see if what I was thinking is
what happens.
Right.
Oh, man.
But
the way it drops you in, too. Oh, unexpected. I loved it. I was like, what the hell's going on?
But does the end pay off?
Yes. The end does pay off. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Certainly pays off.
It's a lot of a conversation.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It almost all hinges on mood and dialogue and very few actors. I mean, it's like a play.
And leave it to Trevor to find the house where they shot this.
Oh, my God. So it's a real location. The House of Darkness is a real house. And I'm assuming they shot it because the house was for sale around the time they shot this a few years ago in Fayetteville, Arkansas. It's called the Dromborg Castle. It was for sale for about $5 million, 13,000 square feet. Beautiful inside. Oh, my God. Just Google the place. You see the movie first, Google the place after, and go, oh, my God, that's this room. You could see, you know, yeah, all the sets are practical, unbelievable.
Looks different in the light.
But still, beautiful. Yeah, you can see more details, I think. But, oh, my God, I'm a sucker for anything that takes place in an awesome-looking location. I'm currently watching The Changeling for the very first time, speaking of awesome old Victorian haunted houses.
When are you watching that?
I watched that when you were asleep at one point. I started watching it. Cool. You were sitting beside me.
I was?
Yeah.
Did I say anything?
It was between your Mimi's number one and Mimi's number two.
Well, I don't know what's going on. Really?
Yeah. The Changeling, yeah.
Oh.
God, it's got some great stuff in there.
Oh, my God. One of the genre-defining haunted house movies. 1980.
Well,
yeah, that's a Canadian production, right?
I believe so. I believe the house. Yeah. I thought I'd heard the house is in Vancouver or somewhere up in BC.
Yes.
Former home of myself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. Leo, let's go to you.
Well, I thought, you know what? I saw something from 1987. Something that I saw once a long time ago. I think I was too young to fully, you know, enjoy it. But I want to give you a synopsis to see if you guys can figure out what type of horror movie this is, okay?
What type of horror movie?
Yes. Hmm. So I'll give you the opening scene.
Okay.
It stars two characters, okay? Caleb and May. It's late at night. Caleb rolls up to his bar. May's outside eating an ice cream cone. He starts to hit on her and, you know, he flirts with her and he's like, hey, I'll give you a ride home, you know? And she's like, all right, whatever, you know? So she gets into his old truck in the middle of Oklahoma. They start flirting in the car some more, and then he stops somewhere and they check out the starry sky. But then she starts to panic. As she looks at the sky, she starts to panic. She forgot she had to be home before morning. So she tells him to take her home immediately. And he's kind of like, whoa, what's going on? And he's like, no. So he gives in, starts to drive her home, but then he stops and demands that he kiss her first. So she starts to panic now, but then she starts to think about it and she's like, all right, I'll give you that kiss, which she does. But then she bolts out of the truck running into the vast nowhereness of farmland, you know, as daybreak's about to happen. So what do you think the movie's about?
Like, what genre do I think it's about? Like, what subgenre? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, off the top of my head, I'm going to guess werewolves or vampire.
I was going to...
Lauren?
Alien?
Definitely right with the vampires. So the movie I'm talking about is called Near Dark.
Yeah. Bill Paxton, right?
Yes.
Classic.
I forgot that Catherine Bigelow directed this.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right.
You know, she won the Oscar for The Hurt Locker, and I think won, you know, awards for Zero Dark Thirty, the Bin Laden movie. And of course, Point Break, you know, with Keanu Reeves and all that. So she's a badass director. This is like one of her, you know, earlier things in the 80s, from 87. And yeah, who do we see? We see Bill Paxton, Lance Henriksen's in it. Jeanette Goldstein, if you know her, she's the badass from Marine from Aliens, mm-hmm. and she's also from Terminator 2. So So it seems like that trio made it into the, you know, into the Aliens flick, you know, with the James Cameron, you know. So, but yeah, this movie, I forgot about this. It's got a music score by Tangerine Dream. The film plays out with a very similar theme of the true knot. Remember the true knot from Mike Flanagan's Dr.
Yep.
Sleep?
Yep. Yep.
So it kind of has that feel where it's like there's this ragtag of vampires, you know, driving around, you know, keeping out of the sunlight, but causing trouble and killing people along the way, you know, turning people along the way, you know? So I started thinking, I'm like, I wonder if Stephen King was referencing these characters or this premise when he wrote Dr. Sleep, because that's a more recent book before, you know, the movie came out.
Yeah.
Somewhere, I think the book came out in 2009 or 13 or something. So I was kind of curious. I'm like, but then again, how many vampire movies do we have that have like a team of Noah Kiefer Sutherland?
Lost Boys.
Lost Boys, right? That's another one, right?
Yeah.
But there aren't many, right? There's like a small handful, right? But yeah, this is one of them. I thought it was fun. It was just fun to see Bill Paxton because he's gone, and Lance Henriksen, you know, as a leader of the group, and just watching them being crazy characters on screen again was a lot of fun. I found this one on Shudder, so if you guys have Shudder, check it out. It's from 87. It's a fun 80s vampire flick. Something I watched it before. Like I said, when you watch this too young and it's not the right tone for you, you kind of forget about it. But revisiting as an adult, I'm like, oh, that's cool, because it really hit a lot of cool themes. And, you know, you don't see vampire movies in the middle of the Midwest or the South, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just a weird setting for a vampire movie, because it's like there's nothing out there. It's flat land for thousands and millions of acres. It's like there's nowhere to hide, you know? But they do some creative things, you know, with RVs and stuff. And definitely check it out. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it's been a while, man, since I've seen that. I think I was one of the ones who was too young when I originally saw it. I was in my teens, I think, and just kind of discovering and getting into the genre. I remember that was one of the earlier ones that I saw. But yeah, it's been a long time. I would love to go back, and that's definitely worth a revisit for sure. Lauren, have you seen Near Dark?
Nope.
Well, then you're not part of the cool kids.
Never.
You're not allowed to do a horror podcast.
Yep.
Screw you.
The true knot.
Yeah.
Screw you, boo.
Yeah.
Well, I was what? Six or seven?
What year? 87? Yeah.
You'd have been
7 years old. 7 years old seeing Near Dark.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I was in middle school.
No. I was watching The Little Mermaid.
That sounds like something Jessica would have taken you to, though, at that age.
Was there a lot of, like, blood, violence?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Guns.
Yeah.
I want to tell you.
Yes, there's a lot of guns.
My cousin, I love her so much.
I think
much,
we've all had cousins like this, by the way.
Took me to see a movie called Mi Vida Loca when I was like,
oh no, that's a crazy movie.
It's a great movie, but not to see when you're six or seven.
Yeah, I was really
the
young.
The inner city gang movie, right?
Yeah, I think Salma Hayek was in that.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Jeez. And I was like, what the hell is this? My aunt, she was supposed to take me to see some like Disney movie that I was so excited to see. And she was like, okay, we'll see your movie if we see my movie. And I was like, okay. And she was like, you can't tell Auntie Jeannie that you saw this. And I was like, okay. And then I watched it and I was like, I think I probably told my aunt, like, we saw this crazy movie. And now when I bring it up to my cousin, and I tell her, like, do you remember? She's like mortified that she would, because she's a parent now. I mean, she was 16 at the time. She was horrified that she
made that decision.
That she made, but she, you know, she was 16.
God.
Not the greatest decision, but we can laugh about it now.
Yeah.
But I saw some crazy stuff. Way too young. Great movie. For older people.
Yes, definitely. All right, guys. Well, anything else to add? I think...
You know what? I watched... On Apple Plus. And I'm going to preface this by saying that I have yet to see anything bad on Apple Plus streaming. Like, there's something... Like, in any genre, if you're looking for comedy, everything is really good on there.
What was it? Servant's on there, right?
Of course.
And what else Apple TV Plus that we've seen recently? I swear there's another show that we saw on Apple TV Plus. Well, Mayfair Witches is, we were accessing it through Apple TV Plus, but it's, that's on
right.
AMC, right? Wasn't Fede Alvarez's Calls on Apple TV Plus?
Yeah, it's on there. Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, there's some great shows. I mean, if you like spy stuff, like for example, there's that what's his name, Gary Oldman's in it, Slow Horses, fantastic show.
Oh wow, no, I haven't heard of that.
But it's a great, if you like spy stuff, based in the UK. But the one I'm bringing up is Blackbird. Have you guys heard of
No, have not.
It's a must watch. It's
movie or TV? It's a TV show.
A 6-episode show. Okay. On Apple Plus.
Don't spoil it. Don't spoil you. I can tell you're gonna spoil it.
It's everybody dies.
Oh my God.
It's a Dennis Lehane based on Dennis Lehane book. He wrote Mystic River. Which is fantastic. But no, Blackbird is actually based on the true story, okay, of this guy named Jimmy Keen. This took place in the early 1990, 91, 92 or something. Jimmy Keen went to Arizona State, one of those two schools. He was a football player, a star, right? And instead of taking the high road, he took the low road. He got involved with dealing drugs and weapons, right? So he gets caught, gets sent to prison. And then what's supposed to be like, because his parents are rich and all that, it's supposed to be a light sentence. They screwed him over and they're like, you're getting 10 years. And he's like, I can't do this. He's like, I'm not made to be here. I got to get out. They figure out that his nice guy personality fits a profile with a suspected serial killer, except the killer confessed to a murder and then took it back. And he was more like, yeah, just kidding. Like, I don't know what I say sometimes. I just make stuff up in my mind, So his confession was like in limbo, right?
Is this like 30... 4 episodes in?
No, this is the first 30 minutes.
This is the first 30 minutes.
This is just a setup because the whole thing with the story is they sent him in. Okay. A football star from college who got busted for drugs and weapons to basically get into the mind and get this guy to confess, right?
Oh, that's cool.
And this is a true story. This really happened. So over 6 episodes, you start to see how, because they tell him, if you don't work this, like, you're staying in here for 10 years. Like, so he's pressured. He has, if he gets a confession, he can go free. So this really happened. True story. And it's only 6 episodes. But the problem is that they're over, like, they're like an hour each. So it's like 6 hours, It's
good, yeah.
Taron Egerton plays the prison guy, the convict.
Oh, cool.
And if you don't remember, he was the guy who played Elton John in the Elton John movie recently. But the star of this movie, besides from Greg Kinnear, who's in it, and also Ray Liotta, this is his last movie because he died when they were filming this. But the star of this movie is Paul Walter Hauser, who plays this like guy who's like kind of mentally challenged, confesses to murders, and then he takes it back and he starts making stuff up. He's like, no, I make stuff up and I don't know what I say sometimes. He plays his character so amazing that you swear he acts like that. You swear he talked like that in real life.
No, I love performances like that.
So yeah, so apparently when he auditioned, they were like, can you keep that up for like, 15 weeks or however long they were filming, And he's like, sure.
That's like Ed O'Neill, not Ed O'Neill, Ed Neal from Texas Chainsaw Acting School, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A hitchhiker.
Exactly. So he gives quite the performance, and I'll tell you. Now, I won't tell you how the story ends or where it goes.
Thank you. It goes
to some very, very dark places. But I will tell you that at the end...
Don't
at the end.
Don't you fucking
tell me. I'll tell you at the end.
No, this happened. This is true life. If you Google it, you will do yourself a disservice.
Okay, so let's
see how this all ended.
Google anything. Let's just stop.
But
here.
What I'm saying is, by the end, it's just one of these stories where you're like, how come I never heard of this guy before? Because the story is way bigger than what they show you.
I'm so sold.
It goes shocking places. That's what I'm getting. It goes to shocking places, and by the end, you're kind of like left with your mouth open. You're like, what? And apparently, that's how it played out in real life. And it's a crazy story. If you're into true crime, serial killers, like, this is one of those stories that I do not recall, but And it's a crazy premise that apparently really happened. So highly recommend it because great acting. But yeah, it's 6 hours. So definitely check that out.
You should also check out on HBO Max, The Last of Us.
I haven't watched any of those. Have you been? Yeah, have you been watching it?
No.
Well, we got HBO Max back.
Yeah.
So I started watching.
Oh.
Well, not very much, but.
It's shot in Edmonton, Canada. I know that.
How do you know that? Why?
Well, I can't get rid of Facebook right now. I've got rid of Twitter and Insta, but I've kept Facebook. And I've seen all my Edmonton friends, radio friends, go, oh my God, this location was used in the show.
Yeah.
I think it's Edmonton. Edmonton or Calgary. Somewhere up there.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it more when we watch it together.
Okay.
And I watch more of it.
Are you liking what you're seeing?
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is pretty good.
I know nothing about what it's about, so don't spoil it.
I'm not even going to tell you, but I was very excited when we got our HBO Max back.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what's this? This looks fun. And it was really good. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stick with this.
And then Servant's back.
Oh, Servant.
Again, the slow drip of Servant, yes. Right? Again, one of those things where you only get an episode a week. So right now, the first two came out. And then I think on Friday, episode 3 comes out. This is season 4. How many episodes are we getting?
10, probably.
Season 4.
Yeah, 10. I think
it's, yeah. Very last season of Servant. I wonder if it's one of those things. I guess it isn't one of those things where if it does, like, if people are freaking out about it, they're going to bring it back for another season, do you think?
No.
Or is it, like, M. Night's probably got his whole thing, like, his timeline.
Yeah.
Zipped up at tight end at both ends.
He said it was supposed to be a 5-season thing, but for some reason, they pressured him to 4. So he's like, okay, I can actually wrap it up in 4, no problem. So it's
damn
complete
them.
Wrap up. It's done.
We could have had an extra season. Ugh.
I mean, you know, good and bad, because what if you get filler episodes that just do nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And I mean, again,
like,
we'll say it again, like the way these episodes are put together in like half hour or less and just pummeling you with twists right. and turns in every episode. That's to me, that's like each episode is kind of a masterpiece in that sense.
Yeah, which leads me to be very excited for February for you.
Oh, my God.
They really started rolling out the promo for that. And I'm like,
oh, I haven't seen some of the more recent ones.
Yeah,
you is one of those, the ones where, and that usually, they don't hold back episodes every week. They kind of spill it all out at once. Because I remember that with the last season that we would just sit and go, oh my God, what happened? Oh my God, we got to get the next episode. And then we'd stay up like till 2 or 3.
Right.
Just like, well, because you can't, it's like reading a good book.
Yeah.
Or what I've heard reading a good book is like. I fall asleep while reading books.
Well,
that's the opposite.
Doing anything pretty much, but I haven't fallen asleep during an episode of you.
Nope.
I don't think, or Servant.
Good sign. You listening. Florence stayed awake. Wow. It's a miracle.
It really is.
All right. Well, should we button this one up, guys?
Yep.
All right. Sounds good. Well, we will be back next week for another round of this bullshit. That you're like, what the hell? What happened to the interviews? These guys suck.
Yeah, no.
Himming and hawing and umming and hawing.
How about
through
some trivia?
Sure.
All right. Here you go, guys. In An American Werewolf in London, what song plays as David turns into a werewolf?
Oh, Jesus, dude. I haven't seen this in forever.
I have no idea.
It's not the Wolfman Jack song, is it? Wolfman Jack actually did the, there was trailers that Wolfman Jack did the radio spots for that.
That's really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
What was it, Leo?
The song would be Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Nice.
Which, by the way, John Fogerty was on Coast to Coast last night.
John Fogerty?
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, dude, after 50 years, he's finally getting the rights back to all that music. He just got it back.
Wait, he was on Coast to Coast. Did he like have ghost stories or see aliens or something?
He's a fan of that stuff. But it was mostly interview just to talk about his career and stuff, you know?
Interesting. I thought for some reason, the Coast to Coast that I've heard is all strange and unusual stories. Am I wrong?
Usually it is. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, these guests, you know, they do have like sightings and they believe in this stuff. And they talk about, you know, so this wasn't so much about that because the second half of the show was about nightmares and a different guest, you know, but they had him on just to, you know, because I guess the host was a big fan, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is a pretty cool interview. But to hear that because the band is long gone, you know, like I think his brother is gone. The rest of the bandmates are gone. So he could not do anything with CCR, you know, but apparently the new version of the band are actually his kids. His daughter and his sons are CCR, basically. And I think now that he got the rights back, he can do whatever he wants now. So it's kind of crazy that 50 years later, you know. But yeah, pretty funny. Made me think of Bad Moon Rising in American Werewolf in London.
I did love that movie. Rick Baker's Oscar-winning werewolf transformation effects. Man, I would love to get Rick Baker in here.
Yeah, remember when we were going to end this episode?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, we're just going on.
People are like, bye-bye.
Yeah, they're gone. Yeah. They stopped listening. People stopped listening a long time ago. What are we doing? All right, well, we'll end it here. We'll be back next week with I'm not sure what.
There will be interviews.
Next week?
No.
No, not necessarily. Maybe. But we're going back to doing some interviews. But right now, we're just kind of...
Interviewing ourselves.
Yep. All right. Well, that was your Boo Crew episode 368. Follow and DM us at Tales from the Boo Crew on Insta, Tales from the Boo on Twitter, and hit up talesfromtheboocrew.com. Production tracks provided, as always, by the kind folks at Powerman 5000. Till next time, it's Trev, Lauren, and Leo, collectively known as the Boo Crew, saying...
Sweet screams.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Boo Crew Podcast. Haunt the Boo Crew at TalesFromTheBooCrew.com. Tales from the Boo Crew on Facebook and Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at Tales from the Boo. The Boo Crew is Lauren and Trevor Shand and Leone D'Antonio. The Boo Crew is produced by Lauren Shand, chopped and sliced by Trevor Shand. The Boo Crew is a TSP creation, part of the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
Bye.
The Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network, home of the Boo Crew. Horror-centric interviews, SCP archives, weekly full cast storytelling, horror queers, genre commentary from an LGBTQ perspective, and creepy for disturbing and terrifying creepypastas. Listen free wherever you stream audio and at bloodydisgusting.com/podcasts.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.